Hi everybody, welcome back to another episode on The Wellness Show. If this is your first time of joining me on the show, it is a weekly podcast where we discuss about health and wellness, and most especially we focus the conversation on information that you take for granted that is pertaining to your health and your well-being. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I remain your host, Shobola Sarah Bolaji. Thank you for joining me. So today, I have somebody in the studio with me, and I'm just excited that you guys are going to be getting information. Like, this information is what we don't really focus more on, and you really need to listen. So what I need you to do for me is that don't come and listen to this thing alone. You have to share it with your friends. I have somebody on the show. She is a registered nurse, a freelance content writer, and a blogger. She specializes in writing for the healthcare industry, and she loves to enlighten people to become conscious of their health. So, welcome with me, Nosotaru. So, Nosotaru, how are you doing today?
I'm fine.
So good. There's a topic I read on about in your blog which focuses on resource factor.
Yes.
And it's something that we do not take it for granted anyway. 50% of youth that was a resource factor, and then they are looking at you like, what are you saying? I don't understand. And then sometimes you are even asking them, what's your blood group? I don't know. I think if I'm trying to get married, I would go and check my blood group. And you're wondering, why are people like this? And I know that kind of thing is like, is burning in you, like, why is it like this? Why are people like this? So, but then before you would talk, okay. I'm going to go on a quick commercial break, and it's not like it's commercial anymore, but I'm going on a break. I need to go and take water. Stay with me, I'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining me, I have Nosotaru in the studio with me, and she's going to be breaking down resource factor, what you need to know about resource factor. So Nosotaru, what is resource factor? What exactly is resource factor?
Resource factor is a form of protein that is found on the outer part of red blood cells.
Okay.
Most people do not know that their blood, knowing your blood group is not just the last thing when it comes to asking people what is your blood group, and someone tells you, oh, I'm O, or I'm A, or I'm AB. It's important for you to know if you have the resource factor.
Okay.
So when you go ahead to say my blood group is O, do you know whether you have the resource factor? The resource factor is actually the plus or minus sign your blood group carries. So it is very important that we all know. And I'm going to break that down to you why we should know that.
Okay.
So the thing is, the protein is passed down from parents genetically, meaning if you have the protein on your red blood cell, it means your blood group carries a positive sign. For example, AB plus. So that plus or minus sign doesn't mean you are negatively charged or positively charged, you know.
Okay.
It just means that you have the resource factor, and when your blood group carries the negative charge, it means you do not have the resource factor. But do not get scared that I am abnormal or I am sick because I don't have the resource factor. Clinically and scientifically, there is no proof that not having the resource factor will actually endanger you or break your health down.
Okay.
Yes.
So some people don't have resource factor.
Yes, in fact, according to research, over 80% of people have the resource factor while others don't have.
Really? I'm just saying that.
Not everyone has the resource factor, which is why it's important for you to know if you actually have the resource factor.
And those people don't usually have complications.
There's not established complication when it comes to your daily activities that someone who has a resource factor is different from someone who doesn't.
Okay.
But there are certain things we need to look at, especially for women, because they are on the receiving end when they get pregnant and it turns out that their resource factor is negative. There is a trick there that most people do not know about, and this is the reason why we are here on the show,
to enlighten people
know more about their resource factor.
Yeah, that's true.
So the thing is that when a woman that is resource negative carries a baby that is resource positive, there is a possibility that the baby's blood can enter into the system of the mother. Yes, and so because the baby's blood carries a positive charge, which is the baby has a red cell, and then the mother is negative, the mother's antibody will start developing against that of the baby's because they see it as a foreign body. But because the baby is a first time, in a case where the woman is just getting pregnant for the first time and she has not had blood transfusion before, that means the body is okay. Like, next time I'm going to prepare against any form of antigen, because it's going to see it as an enemy. And then by the time the baby is in the system the second time, the body will be like, oh, okay, you are coming again the second time, I'm not going to let you win me. And so they do everything possible to eliminate
the pregnancy.
Exactly. So that is why some people have miscarriages.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for resource incompatibility, it happens when a woman who is Rh negative becomes pregnant with a baby that is Rh positive. I said that earlier.
Yes.
So with this incompatibility, the woman's immune system responds and produces red cell antibodies. These antibodies cause the immune system to attack the baby while it is in the womb, which the mother's body now sees as a foreign object that must be eliminated. Yes, you know, at first I actually mentioned to you that it is not a serious problem. Like, clinically it is not established that if you don't have a red cell factor in your blood that is dangerous, but looking at the fact on reproductive health, it's something that is very, very important to consider when you're about to go into marriage, or you want to have a child, or even about the blood transfusion. So when these antibodies are produced, they'll just mingle around the mother's system. Like, they'll just sit down there waiting for another perceived threat to come in, and once another baby comes in that is positive, they go ahead to what?
To eliminate it.
Yes. So there are several ways these antibodies are produced.
Okay, so how?
These antibodies, like I said, these antibodies, they are like soldiers that are produced in the body.
Okay,
the thing is that when somebody is bitten by a mosquito and then the parasite flows into the bloodstream and then the person's immunity is strong, there are antibodies to say, okay, I won't let you conquer this body down, so I'm going to fight against you and I'm going to vanquish you out of this body. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's what the antibodies. These antibodies are soldiers. So in this case of resource factor, when a woman carries a baby that is resource positive and this woman herself is negative, these antibodies are produced against the positive blood. Yes,
okay.
The blood that carries.
What you're saying is that when the woman is positive and she's carrying a baby of negative, there is no issue.
There is no issue.
So, but when the woman is negative and she's carrying a baby with positive,
there is an issue that needs to be addressed. So there are other ways by which the woman can actually develop antibodies apart from being pregnant.
Okay.
And includes being transfused with blood that is Rh positive.
Okay.
Emergency comes in, you rush to the hospital, you are rushed to the hospital and you need to be transfused. And fine, you are O positive, and because we need to save you need to save your life, and then they get negative blood and they transfuse you with it, forgetting that you have been sensitized. The situation where you come in contact with the positive blood and you're negative is a situation we call when you've been sensitized. So when you are sensitized, then that is when your body is now formed antibody. They form these soldiers to protect you against perceived threats. And another thing is that a woman that has done abortion in the past, a woman that didn't even find out or bother to even know if the baby or if the father of the baby
is
positive and she herself is negative, it's also another factor that you can get sensitized. Another reason that you can also get sensitized is if a woman bleeds during pregnancy. For example, there's something we call there are some tests, antenatal tests that are run in pregnancy, like amniocentesis, to that requires fluid being withdrawn from the uterus. In that process, there could be a bleed from the fetus into the maternal system, and then the woman gets sensitized. And then even when you deliver a baby for the first time, either vaginal or cesarean, it's very possible that the child's blood can also mix with that of the mother. So the thing is that when these scenarios happen, it takes time for the body to produce antibodies. That's the first time. There's always an escape for the first time. That is why the first time moments are very precious. So the thing is that firstborn children are not usually affected. If you have not aborted before, if you've not had miscarriages before, if you've not had a situation whereby you have to be transfused with a blood that is positive, firstborn children are not affected by this because the body is like, okay, this thing is in our body now, so we are going to start building soldiers little by little, and then if it comes the second time, we won't let it go, we'll eliminate the threat immediately. However, if a mother became sensitized because of scenarios that I mentioned before, from the abortion, from bleeding during pregnancy, from miscarriages, from exactly things like that. So those are actually scenarios that can make a woman sensitized to resource incompatibility in future. So what are the effects of this resource incompatibility? Sometimes the babies pull through to 9 months and they are delivered, because some of the babies do not stay till 9 months before miscarriages happen. But for those who get up to 9 months and they are delivered, what happens is that the effect ranges from mild to life-threatening. When these antibodies attack your baby's red blood cell, a disease called hemolysis occurs. This means that a baby's red blood cells are being broken down at a faster and dangerous rate. When your baby's healthy red blood cells are broken down, a pigment called bilirubin will build up in the air. Bilirubin is a substance that's produced from the breakdown of red blood cells, and too much bilirubin in the body of the baby is a sign that the liver is suffering, because the liver is just constantly, it's in charge of processing old blood cells. So imagine the load on the baby's liver. So the baby may have one of the following signs if the bilirubin level is high. The first thing is jaundice. Jaundice is a yellowing discoloration of the skin and of the white of the eyes. So when a baby is born and then the baby is jaundiced, some people are so scared that they start looking at maybe somebody has stone throw them arrow while they are. Thing is that there are actually two types of jaundice, the physiological jaundice and the pathological jaundice. The physiological, it means that the body is still, the liver is still maturing, and then the discoloration comes up, and then with phototherapy and then supportive treatment, the baby comes out fine. But for pathological reasons, it's due to infections and it's due to things like like resource incompatibility that needs attention. And other symptoms include lethargy. Lethargy is a state of abnormal drowsiness. Yes, babies are not working now, so they will surely sleep. But when a baby is always asleep, baby is not crying to be fed, baby is not crying to be cuddled, baby is just sleeping for the greater time of the day, just falling asleep. That is actually a bad
sign. And then you have to start forcing the child to
And when the child make the child respond to you, and the baby's cry is so high pitched cry is a sign that all is not well. And even when you try to breastfeed the baby, the baby is not taking breast, the baby is not even feeding the baby, you put the breast in the mouth and the baby is not sucking. Sleeping on the breast, and the baby is tired. Those are signs that I need to take the baby to the hospital. People should not even try to self-medicate when they see jaundice. You know, I actually heard about women feeding their children with pawpaw or I think unripe pawpaw water, like they soak it in and then
mothers,
they feed.
They do that.
Oh my god.
You know, that's very dangerous to believe.
Exactly. I actually try to convince people when I meet them in the hospital, because their in-laws will come around and say, it's just jaundice now. Just give your baby unripe pawpaw water and then everything is clear. Meanwhile, just as simple as phototherapy will be enough too. But when the doctor or the nurse that actually assess this child sees that, okay, there is more to be done, and then they do some investigation, they ask you some questions, what is your blood group, what's your husband's blood group. But this thing is that it ought to have been addressed
before
delivery. If you have been consistent with your antenatal, it should have been addressed. It should have been addressed, because you would have been taught the things to expect
during
pregnancy and after pregnancy, what would be done to prevent such situations.
And then some hospitals even ask for your husband to come and donate blood, and
check husband the blood group and so it's not enough for you to say, hey babe, I am what is your blood group, and then you say, that's nice.
That's what we do. The guy might not even be sure of the blood group. Sometimes they know their blood group, but they don't know their resus factor. Some of them don't even know about the resus factor.
It's so important. Okay, a guy listening now might be like, this doesn't actually affect me. I'm a guy, I'm not gonna get pregnant.
Because your wife is pregnant.
Exactly. Because you don't pay for treatments, you'll be the one to support. emotionally, it could, because treating a child with hemolysis can be draining. Because the child have to go through series of blood. In fact, I'm going to talk about it.
I'm going to talk about treatment of
resource incompatibility in children, the hemolysis. So, regarding complications with resource incompatibility.
Before you get to the complication,
just
like a recap, you've been discussing about resource factor.
Yes.
And you said that for women with resource negative.
Yeah, it means they don't have the resource factor.
That means that they don't have the resource factor.
Yeah.
And then if they their husband is resource positive, or probably the child is resource positive, it's going to cause complications.
It's important to prevent resource incompatibility, which results into a disease called hemolysis of the newborn, whereby the child's red blood cell breaks down at a faster rate and stresses the liver. And one thing is that the resource factor of the father, of the husband, usually tells the child. So if the man is resource negative, the child will be resource negative. If the father is resource positive, the child will be resource positive. So it is very important for us to know, for intending couples to know their resource factor. Because if a woman is negative, she knows, okay, I don't need to hide this information from my doctor. In fact, the moment pregnant, or you intend to get pregnant, you are in sync with your doctor. Doctor, I'm about to get pregnant, I'm resource this. I need to know if I've been sensitized, and then you do some tests to check yourself to ensure that you have a smooth pregnancy, and then and then for the process of your baby growing in you, you are self-assured, you are confident that your baby will come out healthy, don't be problems after.
Welcome back to the Wellness Show. I still have Nosotaro with me, and I hope you're enjoying the lecture anyway. So, Nosotaro, what can be done to treat resource incompatibility?
Okay, it can be draining.
Okay.
Emotionally and financially, because it's, like I said earlier, actually from mild to severe. Okay. But let me just tell you what the treatment involves.
Okay.
In mild cases, the baby can be treated after birth with several blood transfusions. Not one, not two, but several blood transfusions. Electrolytes, which are an essential element that normalize metabolism. This baby is not feeding well, so the baby will be transfused with essential electrolytes to keep the system and the cells active. Fluid therapy also to ensure that the baby is not dehydrated. The baby needs to be hydrated. Satisfactorily, and then phototherapy, which involves keeping the baby under fluorescent lights to help reduce the bilirubin in the blood. So these processes may be repeated until the Rh negative antibodies and excess bilirubin have been removed from your baby's blood. So whether it must be repeated depends on the severity of the baby's condition. So even though it is mild, it's gonna take a lot financially. That is why when they say ignorance is bliss, sometimes ignorance can also be very expensive. It is better for you to know your resource now to prevent this from happening. From blood transfusion to staying in the long stays in the hospital after delivery, it can be draining. So it's not debatable to not know your resource. It's very, very, very important. But if you're already pregnant, don't panic.
Don't panic. If your wife is pregnant, you don't have to panic.
Because panicking will not actually solve anything. It's just going to just make things worse by making you worry. When you begin antenatal, the doctor or midwife determines that you've already developed antibodies against your baby by asking you questions. Do you know your blood group? Do you know your resource? And if you're not sure, you go for tests, and then they say, okay, fine. Then they interview your husband too. Or even if they can't get your husband details, if you could let them, they could actually test
your husband too.
Test your husband too for them to know, okay, if your baby will be resource positive or resource negative. So if you are negative and baby is positive, you will be closely monitored.
Okay.
That's the essence of antenatal. The effect of resource incompatibility can be prevented by getting an injection during the first 3 months of your pregnancy, during a miscarriage, or while having any bleeding during your pregnancy. That is why I'm emphasizing on antenatal.
Okay.
If your pregnancy is one that your baby is already, your baby is positive and you are negative. It's very important that the moment you're having any complaint, you come to the hospital, you are bleeding, you come to the hospital so that you can take this Rogam injection.
And then about the Rogam injection, I guess it's two doses. They take it in the first probably 3 months, and then they take after delivery, immediately after delivery. And some take it immediately after delivery, but I know some that take two doses of Rogam.
There are several manufacturers of Rogam, and each will come with their, with the way it should be prescribed.
Right.
For example, there are some medications that you have to give at some certain time as instructed by the manufacturer, because the manufacturer knows the right time to give it and how, when it will be effective. Yeah. So it actually depends on the make.
Okay.
The make of the medication, for you to determine the time to give it.
Okay.
Yes, for example, now talking about post pill, some come in two separate doses, while some come in one.
Okay.
It actually depends on the manufacturer.
Yes, it's true.
It depends on the manufacturer.
That's
so
true.
This blood product contains antibodies to Rh factor. So if your baby has if your baby is Rh positive, you should get a second. You should get an injection. If you are not able to get an injection during pregnancy, then you get that injection after you give birth within 72 hours.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
You have to get that injection within 72 hours. You know, we talked about the fact that these antibodies, they take time to build up.
Yes, yes.
So within 72 hours, when your body is still trying to recruit soldiers, you know, to train them, to train the soldiers to say, we're not going to let you stay next time. So what the Rogam is going to do is just going to say, you guys should chill now. You guys should chill.
Let's just talk. Let's have conversation.
So that's what the Rogam is going to do. Like, relax. You guys should relax. There's no cause for alarm. You guys should just chill. Yes. So in very rare and serious cases, a series of special blood transfusion can be performed while your baby is in your uterus or after delivery. Yes, that is why it's important to get antenatal. It's very, very, very essential.
You know, there are some mothers that when they are pregnant, some women when they are pregnant, they don't go to the hospital until after 3 months of pregnancy. And I'm like, why? Yeah, are you trying to keep the pregnancy to grow, nurture? Maybe 3 months, and then you're like, okay, doctor, I'm pregnant.
And then you just
you're showing up that, oh, I don't want to be going to the hospital.
It's actually on the safer side if you go to the hospital, and when you get to the hospital, the doctor assesses you and says, okay, come this time, come in the next few weeks.
Yes.
Because he or she is monitoring you, and then can say, okay, within so week, this is what I expect to see after some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can be able to call your doctor or your nurse
anytime.
I'm not talking about auxiliaries. Yeah, auxiliaries are rampant.
Yeah.
You should actually know the nurse you should talk to.
So,
it's not a crime for you to walk up to a nurse and say, I would like to see your license before you treat me. So many people do not know that you have the right to actually walk up to somebody, to a nurse that is treating you, about to inject you, that, can I see your license? But this is about your life. So
yes,
if a nurse is offended by that statement,
there's a problem.
Chances are that that's actually an auxiliary.
Yeah.
A registered nurse will actually be proud to bring that card, like,
I'm
a certified lifesaver.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so
majority of people in the hospital, they don't know about the treatment they're receiving.
Exactly.
Because they don't know how to ask. You have the right to ask
questions. You have the right to know.
You have the right to know.
It's your life.
Thank you.
The thing is, people need to be aware that a doctor, a nurse shouldn't take offense just by asking, because it's good to know. For example, what if you react to a medication and you know that I can't take Fansida because I react, but because you are scared the person might shout at you or the person might not answer you, you refuse to keep that information to yourself, and the person just dispenses it into an envelope and gives it to you, and then you swallow it, you start having complications, and then you start regretting, and I know I should have asked this question. So it is very important for you to know these things, because information is power.
Yes.
And then it's also a lifesaver. So knowing about who is treating you, their credentials as to if they are certified or not, and even the medication they are about to give to you, is very, very important to prevent stories that touch.
Alright, so have we talked about the complications?
No, we've not talked about the complications. For children that are not treated, for example, now a child is displaying having jaundice, and the mother doesn't know it because of resource incompatibility, and decides to feed the baby
purple water,
and decides to die. Some people use ogiri. You can actually put your baby in morning sun without actually knowing the reason why your baby is having jaundice. This is what happens. There'll be damage to the baby's brain, which is known as skinning terrors. Like, you don't want to experience that. In fact, I can't even. It's important to know your resources. It's really important. And when the baby starts to swell, and because of the fact that there's damage to the baby's brain, there'll be poor mental functioning, there'll be poor movement, the baby won't be able to hear well, the baby won't be able to speak well because things have gone bad. Then the baby will start having anemia, the baby can even have seizures because of the issue. The baby could even have heart failure, even death, the baby could die. Although women are the ones at risk of breast loss incompatibility, it can be debilitating and expensive if, as a man, as a father, and as a spouse, you don't consider it to be important to know that your wife, your future spouse, and your daughter, even your sister, could have trouble with pregnancy the nearest future. It is vital that you know your resource factor, even as a man, because children usually inherit the resource factor of their father. I mentioned that earlier. It's very, very important for you to know. Don't say
it's a women thing,
so it doesn't concern me at all. So let us do a little recap so that to make sure you've been following what I've said so far.
All right.
Since more people are resource positive than negative, it is likely that resource negative mothers could be carrying a baby that is resource positive. You know, I mentioned earlier that it's been studies have shown that over 80% of people in the world right now have
the resource factor,
and the rest doesn't have. So if a woman marries a man now, a woman that is negative meets a man, it's very, very the chances are that the man could be positive. So this could create a risk for having babies that are resource positive, and if it is unchecked, the baby could develop the hemolytic disease that would destroy the baby's red blood cell.
Okay.
So if a woman is resource negative, she will most likely receive Rogam. It's not even most likely. She will receive Rogam injection. So if you are resource negative, you know you're resource negative, and your antenatal is not telling you, madam,
you have to start contributing money for Rogam
because
it's not, I guess it's quite expensive.
Yes, it is. So if you are resource negative now and your hospital is not singing Rogam to your ears, please talk to your doctor, talk to your nurse. Ensure that they are on the same page and they're on the right track. Exactly. So when a woman receives Rogam, it protects her immune system from exposure to the current baby resource positive blood. For example, like, you know, I said earlier that Rogam is gonna walk into the system like, guys, relax. Antibodies, chill.
I'm here to pay your bills.
But if she does not receive this injection,
Her
body will develop antibodies that could attack the red blood cells of the baby in subsequent pregnancies. So the woman can start having miscarriages. So if, as a woman now, you are having issues with having a baby, when the baby is 3 months, it comes down, 6 months, it comes down, have you really checked your resource? Are you sure it's not the resource incompatibility problem? And if you have been sensitized, there's a solution. The moment you are pregnant, your doctor or your nurse will assess you, and they'll put you under strict management. There are certain medications you have to take. There are certain things you ought not to do to ensure that your immunity is not stressed, because they're going to try as much as possible to suppress your immunity from fighting your baby. So it's very important that you take notes. Hemolysis can cause serious illnesses, brain damage, or even death of the baby. And then pregnant women typically receive Rogam twice during pregnancy, once at approximately 28 weeks, and once within 72 hours of delivery. Yes, you did.
So now the focus is on the mother and not the child.
The thing is,
the child is not being affected.
Well, the child will be affected if the mother does not take into her Rogam. Doesn't take Rogam, and she has been sensitized. And when the baby comes out, the baby has hemolysis, the jaundice.
They have to start doing blood transfusions.
Blood transfusions can be draining, and it can be very scary too.
It is.
Very scary.
Like two or three
blood transfusion from a child with
resource incompatibility. So neglecting your blood group can be very costly. It doesn't cost much to work into a trusted, I have to put the emphasis on, there's so many mushroom labs everywhere. Yes. Exactly. You need to work into a trusted and tested laboratory. Let them take your blood sample. It won't take time, and then you get your results. Yes, it's that simple. You just
need to be aware.
You need to be aware of your resource factors. Personally, I am O positive, so sure. I know that. Okay. I'm good to go.
So I need to even say my own. Personally, I am A positive. So you will know, we all know our resource factor.
Yes, it's very important to check your resource factor, because you don't want to say stories that touch. You don't want to start spending unnecessary money that you've actually kept, that, oh, I'm going to take care of my baby.
Yeah.
Take care of your baby when your baby is growing. Mm-hmm. Now you have to now start spending on blood transfusions, staying in the hospital.
Isn't even the emotional aspect?
The emotional aspect.
Like giving birth and your baby is not beside you.
You're supposed to call your baby, show love to your baby, but your baby's on the hospital bed, taking drips, taking blood,
and you can't even help the child.
It's beautiful knowing that it can be avoided.
Yes.
just by knowing. And it's not something that someone would say, I need to hide my resources. No, except when there are cases where a man is about to marry, a woman is about to marry, and then the man is heirs,
and then you
decide to hide it. Well, you know the consequences of that. Maybe some other time we'll discuss that. Yeah,
I don't even think they check that even in church when pastors ask for your blood.
They don't ask for results.
They just ask for your blood group and your genotype.
It's crazy that people do not know that this is an essential information that's needed. Like, you just need to know it. It's not possible for you to say, I want to get married, or I want to have a baby, and I don't know my resources. It's very crazy.
Yeah, I understand. I think you have really learned a lot from this on our conversation. And I hope you listening, you are going to share this thing with your friends. A lot of people don't know about this thing. They are not even aware of resource factor. They don't even know what it means by saying you want to, right? You know your resource factor. So you need to be aware of your health. You need to be aware of a lot of things. So do you have, before we go in, probably 10 seconds or 3 seconds or 30 seconds. Let me give it 30 seconds to say something, like one last thing that you need to say to my listeners.
Okay. Knowing your resource factor is cheap, but the effect of not knowing it is very expensive and can ruin you financially and emotionally.
Okay.
Knowing your resource factor is just as important as knowing if your partner is AA or AS or SA. So equate the same importance to knowing your partner's genotype to knowing your resource, because it will save a lot of trouble, it will save you money, it will save you stress, and it will save you emotionally. Knowing your resource factor is important, so that's the purpose of today's
talk.
Know your resource factor.
So thank you so much. Like, I must say that I am so grateful. I am just so happy that you are here with me in the studio and you been able to break this thing down for people. I have learned a lot. I must say that I am just so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much for sharing this information with us. All right, so that is all for this episode. I need you to still share with your friends, post it on your WhatsApp status, tell them to come and listen to this podcast or to this episode in particular. And then the last thing I have to say is that I accept people. Like, I guess I mentioned that in my last episode that you can advertise on this show. If you have anything relating to health or well-being that is going to be beneficial for people, you can come over. Just send me a message on my mail. I'm going to drop the email address in the description button. If you want to advertise anything, I am going to do that for free. So you need to grab your copy by
what will I even say? You just need to grab a copy by sending me message. Send direct message. You can drop message for me on my Instagram handle. You can send me mail directly. And then you can drop an audio message too for me. I am going to receive your message and I'm actually waiting for that. So one last thing is that, what is your social media handle for people to follow? Nos Otaro.
Okay. And my Twitter handle is @mercypens. That is MHERC.
Okay.
Let me spell it again. MHERSEA_PENS. PENS.
Okay.
Then my LinkedIn profile is Mercy Otaro.
Okay.
That is MERCY, my name. Mercy. Okay. And OTARU, Mercy Otaro. Otaro,
okay.
Yeah. And then the website is
www.lobohealth.com. Like, I cannot forget that one. www.lobohealth.com.
So let me spell the Lobo Health. It's LOVOHEALTH, Lobo Health.
Oh.
Global Health. So we post health content every week. Wow. To educate you, to familiarize you with the latest information on health, debunk myths, to teach you how you ought to have a wonderful lifestyle without assholes. In fact, you could read them and there won't be jargons, I promise you. We produce content that you will be able to understand without complicated words. Very simple to read, and then just like that, you get familiarized with very easy to read content.
Wow, that's so good. Okay, so to make it easier for people, I am going to be dropping all the details in the description button. So when you just need the information, you need to go directly to our post or to our blog or to our Instagram handle or any of our social media handle. You get it in the description button. So thanks for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. And see you next week. This Abby. No, I drop new episode every Sunday, so just come. Like, every Sunday you need to come and listen to my podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Do have a wonderful week.
Bye.